Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The good news message that Christians talk about, the gospel message, is a glorious message. It says that we were fallen. We are fallen. We fall short of the glory of God. We continually sin. In fact, Psalm 51, we were sinful from the time our mother conceived us. We are a slave to sin, the Bible says. You know, we're shackled to it. We can't get away from it. No matter how hard we try, we find we are a people who sin. We are chained to sin. The Bible says we're dead in our sins and transgressions. There's no life in us apart from sin. In other words, we're a helpless and a hopeless people. But the gospel says God, being rich in mercy, sent his Son. He came and Jesus lived in our world. He lived as a person in this world. He lived amongst us, and yet he was completely different from us. He was perfect in every way. He obeyed his Father in every regard. He never did anything wrong. He never disobeyed. He was, the Bible said, the spotless Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. And yet the Bible tells us he died. He was punished by his Father upon the cross. The picture of the gospel is a climax in each of those four accounts, is where the guiltless Son of God dies on the cross for the guilty. My sin, through my faith in his work, my sin was taken off me and set upon him, and God the Father punished him for my sin as he hung upon the cross. And the Bible says, by his wounds I am now healed. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Through this work of Jesus, through this good news message, whosoever believes is transformed. It's a wonderfully inclusive gospel. It's a glorious gospel because Jesus did, as that verse at the beginning reminded us, Jesus did indeed pay it all. That mercy, that gift that of salvation that he offers, the salvation that we sang about earlier tonight, that is a free gift, an undeserved gift that is given to us. And yet this morning, we thought of Moses. We thought of a mentality that so often appears in men and women, and it can be a mentality that stops us from actually being able to receive this gift. It stops us from being able to accept this free gift, that me monster paralysis. A sinful mindset that's determined to work out what I can do to make things right. A mindset that tries to understand what I can put on the table to play my part in this salvation scheme. It's a concave mindset that's bent in on itself, that's focused on self. It's determined to work out what in me makes me worthy, or what in me can I bring, or post-salvation, what could I do to be a worthy candidate for grace? And that is such a contorted gospel. It says in a message that's meant to be all about grace, what merit can I bring? What can I do to get this undeserved gift? Why should I be the recipient of this gift? And yet, though we know it doesn't make sense, that's often the way we think. We don't understand the paradox of the gospel. The paradox of the gospel is that we can do absolutely nothing, and yet through faith we receive everything. That's what the gospel is. But we make it so much about us. And in the paragraph that we're looking at tonight, that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. Look at Mark chapter 10, and we'll read verses 13 to 16. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. This may be one of the most misunderstood passages of Scripture, or parts of Scripture that is so often sold short. Everybody agrees on what is happening in the first part. We all agree about verses 13 and the first part of 14. It says in verse 13, "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to me.'" Well, we're all united on what's going on here, because it's simply a description of what is happening. Here's Jewish parents, and they bring their children to meet Jesus. They hear about this famous teacher, this famous rabbi, and so they bring their children, wanting them to meet this famous rabbi and to receive a blessing from him. That wasn't unusual. That was a normal way that people acted in Jesus' society. The rabbis were like celebrities, and people today would want to get a selfie with their celebrity, people wanted to bring their children to the rabbis for a blessing. It was the dumb thing of the day. And so there's nothing unusual about what is taking place. But the disciples react to these children with an inappropriate distaste. The verse 13 says, they rebuked those bringing the children. It's a strong word. And Mark, that word is used whenever Jesus rebukes the demons and that are possessing people. It's the same word that's used when Jesus rebuked the storm. It's a very strong word. And these disciples are strongly rebuking the children. But as they do, we read in verse 14, Jesus strongly rebukes them. We actually read in verse 14, he was indignant. Indignant. In other words, he was angry. Or he was outraged. It's a strong word. The action of these disciples is the complete opposite way that Jesus wanted them to behave if they call themselves his followers. Jesus says that they're thinking wrongly and they're acting wrongly. For these kids whose society gave no time or attention to, and Jesus expects his followers to embrace them in. Do not stop. Do not hinder them from coming to me. Now, everybody gets that part of the text. But at that point, most sermons seem to lose their way and just die. They're killed by an overzealous moralizing of the text. It goes something like this. Notice how Jesus was so nice to these children. We must be nice to children too. And go home, love children, and treat them with care and treat them with respect. And by the way, we actually do. This isn't a real point. We do need a couple more volunteers for Upper Bound. So anybody interested, children, good ministry. Apart from that last part, the rest isn't the point. Now, Jesus is one who loves children, and we should also care for children. He's very kind and he's very gracious, and he literally takes them into his arms here and blesses them. He's extremely kind and caring towards children, but that's not the point of this passage. And we know it's not the point of the passage because Jesus himself spells out the point. Look at what he says at the end of verse 14 and in verse 15. "Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Here's the point. Here the story stops being just a description, and Jesus now starts to teach. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And then in verse 15, "Whoever does not receive the kingdom like a child cannot enter it." There's our two points this evening. First one, the kingdom of God belongs to weak, helpless, unimportant people. The kingdom of God belongs to weak, helpless, unimportant people. Well, one of the things I did in preparation for the sermon was I went looking and listening to other sermons, and I came across a sermon by Alistair Begg, and it was extremely helpful at many points. But one of the most important things that he pointed out was how today we have forgotten what children are. And we have a totally different way of thinking about children to the way that people thought about children in Jesus' day. We treat children like the world revolves around them. They're little innocent snowflakes, each one an individual, that the whole world is there to serve that little snowflake, to let that little prince or princess, depending on what they choose to be, have the best life possible. But in Mark chapter 10, Jesus is not saying that you should be cute and cuddly and innocent and the center of the universe. Not at all. Rather, whenever Mark talks about children, when the disciples thought of children, they had a very different picture in their mind. To them, children were small and they were weak. They are helpless. They're the bottom of the social ladder. The disciples knew children don't vote. And children don't get to drive. Children don't get to make decisions in life. If they're sick, it's a parent or guardian that decides to take them to the doctor. Every day they seem to come home from school with a note that they are not allowed to give consent to. Someone else has to give consent for everything that they do. They're terrified of being alone. You put them into their bedroom at night. It's a tiny little room. There's nothing going to happen. And yet they still need the light left on to bring some measure of comfort to them. They are without any claim, without any merit. They contribute absolutely nothing to the family's accounts. They're not breadwinners. They are completely in need of everybody else. And that seems to be why Jesus is so drawn to them. They are so obviously needy. They are entirely dependent on anyone who will show them undeserved love and kindness. And I think that is why Jesus cares so much for them. And so when Jesus says, the kingdom of God belongs to people like this, he's saying the saving gospel is for those people who know that they're weak, who know that they're lonely, who have nothing to offer, who have no merit they can waive, who have no claim to make. Well, whenever it says in the second half of verse 14, for to such belongs the kingdom of God, Jesus is saying these people who have no status, no merit, are welcome into Jesus' kingdom. But he's saying more than just that. The second point that he makes in verse 15, unless you receive this kingdom, unless you receive the kingdom on this basis, you will never enter it. That's the second point tonight. Unless you receive the kingdom of God on this basis, you will never enter it. Look at verse 15. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. The words themselves are very simple. I feel like I'm repeating myself. But the point drives right at the heart of why we as human beings have such a problem with the gospel. If you're ever going to receive forgiveness, if you're ever going to receive the kingdom, it means you have to receive it. You have to take it. Being forgiven is not a reward that you get. It's not a medal. It's not a claimed right. It's not a bonus you get because you tried really hard to get there yourself. You got further than most. Rather, the only way to receive forgiveness from God is like a child who takes a gift. You have to receive it like an undeserving child. Isla loves Sunday morning at church. Not because of the preacher. No. She loves it because of the sweets. And she goes round getting sweets from everywhere. It's impressive how much she can dig out. We at the beginning thought she was like the mafia, going around claiming her dues from each and every person. But it's less like that, and more like a child who just knows if she goes, and someone will give, and she happily takes. Undeserved, happily takes. But if you were to try and give that treat to an adult, you know how the conversation would go. Oh, are you sure? Oh, are you sure that's not for somebody else? Well, I have been good this week. I guess I can take one. They never just simply take it. There's a whole dance and conversation that has to go on to justify the acceptance. But the gospel, it's like a child taking a sweet. It's only received by receiving. Jesus is not saying you need to be like a child to enter the kingdom. He's saying more than that. He's saying you need to realize you are a child. You are a child. And you can't get into the kingdom unless you receive it as an undeserved gift. This gift of eternal life involves you recognizing that you do have nothing to offer. Believe me, you may think you have something. You have absolutely nothing to offer. The Bible says your best deeds are filthy rags in His sight. The only way to get into God's kingdom is to receive His gift, knowing you have nothing to offer, knowing that you do need Him, and knowing that it's only because He has been kind to me. He has been gracious to me. As Alistair Begg said, the gospel is not about achieving. It's about accepting. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is why the gospel is such a stumbling block. If you have any measure of pride, the gospel is a stumbling block. Anybody who thinks that they are something, anybody who thinks they have achieved something, anybody who is impressed with how they think, will always find the gospel to be a stumbling block, because there is no room for pride in the gospel. It's simply a message about grace. About grace. Too many people distort true religion. They distort it by making religion about what I must do. A false religion says, what must I do? Whereas true religion, Christianity, true Christianity, declares, I am nothing. And I can do nothing. I am wholly dependent on His grace. True Christianity is not about what I can do to get saved. It's good news that says, despite not being able to do anything, I can be saved by receiving. By receiving. Sinful flesh could never reach up and touch heaven. But in the incarnation that we remember at Christmas, God Himself took on flesh and came down to save men and women. It took the Lord becoming a baby to save us, which is why no one can become a Christian without first recognizing they are a little child. Do you qualify tonight to be a Christian? Do you qualify tonight? It's a bit of a trick question. Jesus says the kingdom is only for those who humbly recognize that they do not qualify. We often talk about the narrow gate from Pilgrim's Progress. The narrow gate, in reality, if we were to add to John Bunyan's picture, it has a cross beam on the top of it. It's not enough just to walk through the narrow gate. You need to crawl through it on your hands and knees. The only way a person ever becomes a Christian is whenever they humbly recognize that they have nothing in and of themselves. Only those who recognize that Jesus did indeed pay it all are able to receive this free gift. Now, how does that affect us? If you're not a Christian tonight, the only way you can ever truly know God is to see yourself as truly unworthy. And to know that Jesus yet offers you, unworthy person, a free gift. You need to stop trying to build up merit. Stop trying to build up your attendance card at church. Stop trying to get through the week having done less wrong. It's rather about accepting the fact that He has given you grace, that He has done everything, and accepting that work of Jesus on your behalf. Nothing else, the Bible says, saves. For those of us who are Christians tonight, it removes every spirit of elitism that could creep into our mind. If we start to think that people need to dress a certain way to come here, people need to speak a certain way to be around us, people need to have been part of this place long enough before they can join the church, We started to put barriers there. We're like these disciples, and we are hindering people's coming to and worshipping of Jesus. Jesus rebukes so clearly that type of thinking. When we have understood the gospel, and when we are, as Christians, reminded of the gospel, it moves us all to a humble thankfulness that Jesus did pay it all. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do ask that You would protect us from making this message of grace a message where we are involved. We pray that You would protect us from robbing Jesus of His glory. And indeed, Lord, that You would allow us to understand that this gift is free. We pray for any in the room who have not yet embraced it. We ask that You would help them to stop trying and striving, but to simply accept the work that Jesus has done for them. And for us who are Christians, Lord, protect us from that mentality that seeks to promote self. Protect us from allowing any sense of pride to slip in to our faith. Protect us, Lord, from a judgmental attitude that will hinder others. And Lord, cause us even now to leave this place with a humbleness and a thankfulness for Jesus Christ, the one who did indeed pay it all, and the one to whom we owe now all. Cause us to live differently because of all that He has done for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.